Hari sarvesu bhutesu. Bhagavan asta ishvaraha. Iti bhutani manasa. Kamaistai sadhu manayat. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarvesu, in all. Bhutesu, living entities. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality. Aste, is situated. Ishvaraha, the Supreme Controller. Iti, thus, bhutani, all living entities. Manasa, by such understanding. Kamai, by desires. Tai, those. Sarumanayat, one should highly esteem. Translation. One should always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His localized representation as the Paramatma, who is situated in the core of every living entity's heart. Thus one should offer respect to every living entity according to that living entity's position or manifestation. Hari sarveshu bhuteshu. This statement is sometimes misunderstood by unscrupulous persons who wrongly conclude that because Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is situated in everyone, in every living entity is therefore Hari. Such foolish persons do not distinguish between the Atma and the Paramatma, who is situated in every body. The Atma is the living entity, and the Paramatma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The living entity, however, is different from the Paramatma, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Hari Sarveshu Bhuteshu means that Hari is situated as Paramatma, not as Atma, although Atma is part of Paramatma. Offering respects to all living entity means offering respects to the Paramatma situated in every living entity. One should not misunderstand every living entity to be Paramatma. Sometimes unscrupulous persons designate a living entity as Dharidra Narayan, Swami Narayan, this Narayan, or that Narayan. One should clearly understand that all Narayan is situated in the core of the heart of every living entity. The living entity never becomes Narayan. Om Agyan Timidandasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadammayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shri Makti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Pastyatyade Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasiri Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So there are a class of people that like to not find the proper distinction between the soul and the Supreme Soul, or consider the soul also, because it's part of the Supreme Soul, it's also the Supreme Soul. That's their understanding, or at least their misunderstanding. So here it's explained, and we hear how often that there are two souls with every in every living entity's body, and that is the Supreme Soul, Paramatma, and also the individual soul, the living entity. Actually, when you actually take this a little bit farther, you'll find there are innumerable souls in every living entity's body. each particular cell actually is an individual soul. So there's actually millions of souls within one body. Souls are everywhere. They're innumerable, at least apparently innumerable in the material existence. But the two principal souls are the living entity, who is the enjoyer of the field. The field refers to the body. And the Paramatma, who is the proprietor of the field, the owner. And so these two souls are there. So one who sees actually sees both and the distinction between both. Of course, when we, therefore it says, Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Brahmani Gavi Hastini, Suni Chaiva Svapakecha, Pandita Samadarshanaha. The Samadarshana means one who sees equally. The soul is in the body of different types of bodies. And the verse illustrates this by indicating a dog, a dog eater, a Brahmin, a cow, like that. And so different types of individuals are indicated just to show that actually everyone is a pure spirit soul. And one should see that, but here this verse also gives you a little indefinite that everyone should be offered respects according to one's position or manifestation. In other words, respects are given accordingly to that soul. Therefore, it says that one who... I can't remember the different distinctions. But to one who is fully engaged in devotional service, one can offer full obeisances to that person. One who is simply chanting the holy names of the Lord, one can offer respects by simply folding their hands like that. And so, and of course, we see that even the non-devotees, those who are in the material world, they're respected because they're part and parcel of Krishna. And therefore, we give them respects according to their position. Although we don't intimately associate them with them, we see that they are also part and parcel and very dear to Krishna. Every soul is very dear to Krishna, even those in lower bodies. Because Krishna is the Supreme Father, and therefore everyone is seen by him as equally, what we say, he cares for each soul equally according to that soul's situation. So that is his natural and, what we say, innate love for each living entity. But we make distinctions in terms of how to offer respect, but still the principle of respect is given. And that's the principle of happiness, because when you give respects to all others, you actually become happy or you become satisfied. Because everyone may not be respectable in the terms of how we understand the term in terms of elevation of different positions, but everyone's respectable because they're part and parcel of Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura also, he makes one statement where he says that somehow I live in this world because I give respects to all living entities, like that. So that's done in the mind for most living entities, and for the Vaishnavas we offer sometimes in respects in terms of offering, you know, dandavats or obeisances. But when we're offering respects, it's understood here, and it's also mentioned here, that we're offering respects to the Supreme Lord, who is also situated in the heart. So two souls would be giving offered respects when we offer respects, one to the Supreme Lord and one to the individual soul like that. And that is actually, so offering obeisances or offering respects is actually a very elevated principle of Vaishnav culture. In fact, our culture is called the culture of respect. I listened to one six-day presentation on called the culture of respect by one great devotee in our movement, Madhavananda Prabhu, who presented it in a very detailed form, showing how everything is based on this principle of respect. Because as soon as we lose respect, we lose the mood of devotion. And we lose the mood of devotion, then we start seeing things materially or ordinary. And then we may also act in that way. So the principle of activity doesn't necessarily have to meet your consciousness, but the principle of activity should be given, because that will help to elevate your consciousness. In other words, one should know how to give respects accordingly, and that will bring your consciousness to the right understanding. But everyone is given respects because every living entity. And we see in the material world, this is the big problem. Everyone sees another living entity according to their body, and so they judge accordingly, or according to a person's activities. And therefore, they may give respects, or they may not, or they sometimes, if they don't like a person's body, or the whole principle of animal killing is based on enviousness. So that and that living entity is part and parcel of Krishna, has been given Krishna's permission to live in that body for so long and have its, what we say, God-given rights to fulfill its needs. If one interferes with that, one's transgressing the strong laws of the material energy and the laws of God, and then therefore one is punishable like that. That's why the material world is really quite, confused. Nobody knows what to do. They don't know what to do, and they don't know why they suffer, because they don't know what to do. They think that to gain situations in this world, such as better positions or more followers or some position or some material amenities, is the success of life. But the success of life is to serve and give respects accordingly. The devotee even serves the non-devotee by respecting them as part and parcel and finding opportunities to somehow or other give them Krishna consciousness. Or if we can't give them Krishna consciousness, at least we are polite. When Prabhupada was asked, how can you tell a Vaishnav? He said, he's a perfect gentleman. He gives respects to everyone. When the opposite is there, it causes disharmony in so many different ways. It's just like there was one very senior devotee in our movement, extremely senior in terms of his position and his seniority in the society, where he was getting off the plane. You know, when the plane lands, you know, you see when they turn the seatbelt sign off and everybody like immediately flies up in the air, jumping, running for their luggage, you know. The reason they do that is they can't wait to get on the ground again, because being up in the air is miserable. It's just not natural to be up there. It's just because it's just against our nature. So it's this feeling of, I made it back to the ground. So that's almost what we say, like reflexive. But a lot of times that causes confusion. And so there was one devotee, he was kind of rushing to get out of the plane. And one lady, she noticed that, and she said, oh, what would she say? Oh, does your religion teach you to be impolite? She said it loud enough in such a way that other persons also heard it. And this devotee was completely embarrassed, and he immediately stopped and was speechless. What could he say, you know? He didn't try to defend himself because he knew he was wrong. So, yeah, therefore, even when the non-devotees see devotees acting in the wrong way, they also think, well, what is this? But when they see good behavior, they think, oh, these people are nice. These people are friendly. They're respectful. Like that. Now that's preaching. That's actually preaching to the non-devotees. Like that. So, and that's, all of that is based on this principle here of seeing the soul within the heart of all living entities. like that. Here it also mentions another, what we say, significant point, is that, it's unfortunate, of course, and is that the there are two major deviations with people who have some practice of religion or spirituality. And two, the two deviations is that one worships God in order to further their material life. In other words, to get to see God as a supplier and a person who is there to make your life better in this world. And so they offer prayers, they go to church, they give so many, they do so many things. This is very prominent. And the other side is for the Mayavadis and personalists who think that, you know, all living entities are spirit, therefore all living entities are the Supreme Spirit. And Maya is just a covering, and once the covering is removed, then everyone realizes that they're actually God. They're half right, in the sense that there is a Chintya Beta Beta Tattva, that the living entity is simultaneously one with and different from the Supreme Lord. In one lecture, Prabhupada blew everybody's mind. Prabhupada was pretty good at blowing people's mind. And he kept saying, you are God, I am God, we're all God. He kept emphasizing the oneness of the spiritual nature. And of course, later on, he qualified that. But while he was speaking, it would kind of shock some of the devotees. But he wanted to make the point of the oneness. But our philosophy, which is the complete philosophy, or a complete understanding, is that one is God-like, but not God himself, or has the same qualities in a limited amount of quantity, but never is supreme. And this is an important principle. Even devotees don't understand this, achintya beta beta tattva. Because when you understand that, you can understand things in relationship to everything, even in the material world too. So that principle is the foundation for understanding all philosophy, that everything is one with and different from the Supreme Lord. Mayavadis emphasize the oneness. The Sahajiyas and other groups, they emphasize the difference. They say God, or maybe even the ordinary religionists, they say we are here and God is in the spiritual world, like that we are. In other words, they make a great separation between the living entity and God, and see that God really has no business here. He just created this place, and now it's up to you to do what you want with it. And that, when, what do we do with it? We make a mess out of it. So that's unfortunate. So these two, what we say, wrong understandings, that the living entity is the Supreme, or Jai Shri Panchatattva Ki Jai, or that the Lord is meant to fulfill our material aspirations, our desires, our plans in life, like that. So, but the devotees have a clear understanding. They understand that, yes, God is situated in my heart, and he is directing the wanderings, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is not just sitting there, he's witnessing, but he's also directing you accordingly. Just like it mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, when the mind is completely controlled, the super soul is already reached. Therefore, happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, heat and cold, like gold and iron, appear to be all the same. In other words, the dualities disappear when one is connected with the super soul in the heart. And that super soul is always guiding us. If we can, we should be able to tune in to God in the heart. That way God is always directing you at every second on how you can make advancement or how you should behave in Krishna consciousness. So keeping the mind and senses fully under control and execution of our devotional service and practicing this principle helps us to come in contact with the super soul within the heart. And then when we do that, then the super soul, everything is clear, And God is completely taking charge of the person's life. And one simply is, what we say, under the complete control of the Lord's direction. Now we're struggling with our desires and what God wants from us. So when we stop that struggle, then we can also understand that what He wants for us is actually what we want for ourselves. It's none different. But that takes some time, because the mind will always tell you, this is where the problem is, the mind always tells you what you need and why you need it, and when you need it. And when you don't get it, what does it tell you? Well, you should keep trying to get it. And if you don't get it, then you should make sure, try to get something else that's better or even equal to that. So there's only one problem in the world, and that's your own mind. That's all. When you understand that, there's no problem out there. Prahlad Maharaj told that to his good father, Sri Hiranyakashipu. He told them that, you know, you're making friends and enemies, but actually you're the only enemy is your own mind, my dear father. And so when the mind therefore needs to be directed towards the hearing, transcendental knowledge, engaging in devotional service, and especially chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If we're at least making the endeavor to chant all the time, either in our minds or openly, then we're always connected with Krishna in devotional service. That's something we have to practice. And when you do that, you'll find that the holy name guides you automatically in your devotional service. That's why Prabhupada said, chant always. Satatam kirtayanto mam. One who's always glorifying the Lord is actually situated always on the spiritual platform. And that takes you to the transcendental platform and ultimately to the platform of perfection. Okay, so it's a matter of consciousness. Everything is a matter of consciousness. Reality is a matter of consciousness, but there is a supreme reality which is above all external forms of consciousness, and that is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. So if you haven't reached this reality, you know you haven't reached perfection yet. And then Krishna explains that when you thus know the truth, you know that all living beings are my parts and parcels, they're in me and they're mine. Not only are they within me, I am within them, and they also belong to me. That is, Krishna mentions that verse that follows 434 in Bhagavad Gita, it's 435, the next verse, that the perfection of serving the spiritual master culminates in complete transcendental knowledge, which gives transcendental vision, that one can see all living entities on that level. In the meantime, we have to practice that. We can't wait for spiritual life to fall out of the sky and hit you in the head. It's not going to do that. You have to work at it. It's something you have to really, really work at. It's something, because the material energy is moving us in the opposite direction, so we have to fight against that material energy by keeping our minds always connected in devotional service. And then we're always in the best situation. And even if you make a mistake, it's easily overcome because you're in the right mood. Okay, so we'll stop here. See if there's any comments or questions. Questions? No? Oh, okay. We have all.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your nice lecture.
Simple. Yeah. Wasn't anything, you know.
I would like only to say that how difficult it is to be respectful for one whose behavior is very bad or mm-hmm. so, and
You may have to respect from a distance, but that respect should still be there, but you may not associate because it may cause you difficult to be in that association.
But if it's devotees and have service together.
Well, then you have to be the example. If you're the example, then... And you also, that's how you teach. You teach two ways. Teach by your words, but you teach by your example. But as it says, example is higher than precept. Because words also are important, but they may not completely come to the standard of what we're actually living like. But our example speaks the loudest. How we behave, how we interact with others like that. That's the principle.
Thank you.
Yeah, so be the example, and that inspires others. Okay. You know, Prabhupada, he taught both by these principles. But he also made a distinction of certain things that he did that we couldn't do. But now we should always follow the etiquette. Because etiquette, as Sanatana Goswami says, is the ornament of a Vaishnava. Sometimes we get outside of the etiquette when we do certain things. But we should be careful not to commit any offenses or cause any discomfort to others. If we do, then that may cause some disharmony in the whole interaction. Sometimes we joke and we tell bad jokes. What can we do? But sometimes we try to correct the bad joke with another bad joke. So it's like that. So sometimes, yeah, so that joking should be done also in proper circles. Like that. Okay. But there is good joking, and then there's other kinds of joking. There's the joking that makes other people feel horrible, and there's the joking that makes everybody feel good. So you have to distinguish between the two. Okay, anything else? Okay. No more? All right, we can stop here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.